and direct your attention and we'll entertain a motion for the approval of the minutes of the fourth quarterly meeting, October 31st, that were in your packet. And I hear a motion that they be approved.
So moved.
Second that motion.
Second.
Motion made and second. Any discussion? Motion passes. And I'll direct you to page 2 of the agenda, the Finance and Budget Committee report. Mr. Riddle.
Certainly, Mr. Chairman. You will notice that we have been provided with a consent agenda from our December the 12th committee meetings. There is only one correction, and F1 of your packet under the faculty, you have a revised list, and if with no objection, I would like to include that in the consent agenda. Is there any discussion on that matter? All right. In that case, I would like to propose and get a motion for FB1 through FB4 for the consent agenda. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
So moved by second. Regent Kennedy and seconded by Regent Johnson. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion passes. We do have an information item, and I would like to call on...
I'm sorry.
No, that's perfectly all right.
Where are we? I got distracted by not being able to know that we had the appropriate technology to move forward.
That's right. Okay. That's all right.
Mr. Chair,
right. I'm working from paper here. I'm happy.
And where are we in the agenda?
We are now at the information item of the employee
Good.
Health plan.
I apologize. I don't think I've blushed in a long time, so. Okay.
That certainly looked nice.
Nice rosy glow today. We're pleased to bring a short presentation to give you an overview of our health insurance plan and how it's structured and connected with the our wellness program. I'm going to turn this over to our Assistant Director of Total Compensation, Carrie Akins, and our Director of Human Resources, Tony Glisson. And we'll see if you have any questions at the end.
Tony's going to turn it over to Harry. You're not going to stay up here at all.
It's fine.
Harry has done wonderful presentations across campus when we rolled out the plan, and we have 110% confidence in her being able to present this.
Well, thank you. I have a master's degree in communication from WKU, so it served me well in this endeavor, let me just say. But thank you for the opportunity to present on an overview of the health plan. There is a lot of things going on with the health plan right now, and so we are consolidating that to provide an overview, really, of how our plan operates, very high level, why some of the changes that we're making now were needed, some of the highlights, the main changes related to the health plan, and then, of course, any questions that you have at the end of the presentation. So we will move right along. So one of the most important things for everyone to understand about our health plan, including our employees and members who utilize the health plan, is how it operates. And the WKU health plan has been self-funded since 1999. So we place contributions into the health fund through the university contribution for our employees, and then employees pay premiums. And that money goes into the health fund. And as our members of the health plan utilize the services, get prescriptions filled or go to the doctor, those funds within that plan pay those costs. Now, we do use an insurance company, Anthem, to serve as our third-party administrator. They process those claims. But we pay the bill using the money within our health plan. And it allows us a lot of flexibility in designing our plans to make the benefits work for the employees and their needs. Money is only paid out as expenses are incurred. So this model has worked very well for us over time. Because we only pay money out as claims are incurred, in years where the plan has operated well, we have been able to build up a reserve. And that is what we refer to as our savings account to get us through years where maybe the plan is not performing so well or when our claims exceed the revenue coming into the plan. And, you know, that is a very important piece of the self-insured model. So we aren't paying out premiums established by an insurance company and using a model or benefit plan design that they provide to us. We have that flexibility and control. So that is a very important thing, and we want our employees to also be aware of that, because the money in the health plan is literally our money. My money, university's money, our employees' money that they pay through premiums. So, you know, that is what was really pivotal in communicating and getting across to our employees about why these changes are needed. And the reality is our plan costs are a big challenge. And we are approaching a $20 million health plan. So these numbers, you know, are not small numbers. So we want our employees to understand that if we don't do something to impact or mitigate trend with our health plan, and we face trend in 10% range year over year, that equates to about $2 million of new money that we need to raise year over year just to impact trend alone. So these are things that we have been working to come up with a more strategic way to operate our plan and make it more sustainable. We were out in July talking to the campus about some of the changes that we were looking at, providing a background and a historical overview of the plan and how it has operated. We did that in July, and that was recorded, and hundreds of employees attended that session. Over 1,000 of employees attended our informational sessions in the fall. So, you know, we're getting the word out about why this is important, and it's a big challenge for us. And we have been working for years now. This didn't just start in the fall during open enrollment. This has been an ongoing strategic initiative for us for many years now. So the future of our health plan is really to create a more sustainable health plan, and a health plan that operates differently than it has operated in the past, because in order to sustain our health plan, we are going to have to deliver the services a little bit differently. And so we have been focused on several factors. We have been focused on programs and benefit plan designs that really promote health and well-being. That's a huge factor for us. So we know that those things are very important to sustaining our health plan. We also wanted to provide employees provide resources to our employees to help make informed decisions. This is another key strategic initiative related to the long-term sustainability of the health plan. We need our employees to be engaged in the process when they're using the health plan, because we have a lot of ability to impact cost and change by being an engaged consumer and understanding how health plan costs work, and it's a really big deal. We also have to ensure a reasonable reserve for the plan. In order for us to avoid coming up with big dollars year over year if we face a deficit, the reserve is important to sustain. We need to build a savings account that allows us to dip into in years maybe when we need to, so that we don't have to go out to the university or to employees to pay higher premiums. So that's an important piece. And then, of course, one of the biggest things is to remain competitive in the marketplace. So we know we just can't make lateral changes in our health plan that will take us out of competition in the marketplace. So when we went through this process, we did a benchmark analysis, and we looked at the plans that our benchmark institutions and other Kentucky public institutions offer, the services they cover, the co-payments and co-insurance and deductibles, premiums, employer contributions into the plan. All of those things were key factors. And so we knew that anything that we rolled out needed to keep us in a competitive position so that we could retain quality faculty and staff. And so we are proud to be able to continue in 2015 to offer a core benefits package for every employee at the university who has employee-only coverage, has an opportunity to elect a no-cost health plan with regard to premium. Dental is free, vision plan that's free, basic life insurance, and long-term disability. So we have a core benefits package that costs no premium for employees, and that is a huge deal for us. We have been able to maintain that for many years and are proud to still be able to offer that. Now, the other thing that we are focused on is getting employees to play a part in this process. And this is a really important factor and key initiative for us. So some of the things that you will find or see about the new plans that are rolling out is we're asking our employees to commit to healthier lifestyles or to continue to lead healthy lifestyles. We really want them to make informed decisions about healthcare, so we are providing a lot of resources to help do that. and we want employees to use healthcare in a more cost-effective way. So there are a lot of things that we are doing, resources we're providing to help employees understand other alternatives. Because in the end, the money that is paid out in claims impacts all of us. So if people use the plan more wisely, it benefits everyone on the plan. And so the goal, again, is to impact cost over time, lower costs, maybe even decrease costs, which is a very, very good possibility. Now, some of the guiding principles that we use, we do work with a benefits committee made up of 15 faculty and staff who are representatives across campus, and they are the individuals who help us and guide these decisions that we make related to the health plan. They are a big part of that process. I'm happy to say that we had near 100% consensus with our benefits committee this year on the decisions that we made. They were a pivotal part of this and have served this benefit, this university well over time. And we worked with a consultant as well who helped us kind of navigate and make these changes and plan the new designs. But the keys to creating a sustainable health plan is to integrate our wellness into our health plan. We also needed to align them with our comparison market. And our real goal is to keep employee and WKU increases at a minimum over time. So that is an important factor to understand. And we wanted to be able to offer a variety of options. And, of course, we have to remain in compliance with the Affordable Care Act, which was another strategic initiative. The second piece is for employees to make informed decisions. So we are providing and launching a tool February 1st where employees can actually look at different services that they may receive and find the lowest cost provider. And there is a significant difference in the cost that facilities charge for services. And so the real goal is to get employees involved in finding the lowest cost, and that is the lower cost to employees, but also to the plan itself. So those are important factors. And we want to promote the importance of the patient-doctor relationship. So we've integrated a lot of preventive resources and preventive services that are no cost to employees, and encouraging them to take advantage of those. And then finally, we are rewarding employees who participate in our wellness program and take action to lead healthier lifestyles. We've made a lot of enhancements to our wellness program to meet the needs of the employees on the plan. And we've incorporated spouses and partners who are members of our plan as well for the first time. So this was a significant enhancement as well, inviting spouses of our employees to participate and be rewarded and incentivized for their actions related to the wellness program. So some of the highlights, and we have the, I think you have the benefits manual with you, so some of the details about the benefits are within the booklet there, but just as an overview, employees during enrollment this year were asked to complete what we call the Top Life Pledge. And the pledge was an initial commitment to wellness. And by completing the accepting the pledge, the employees were eligible to receive discounted premiums throughout the year, as well as some upfront funding into some savings vehicles, such as a health savings account or health reimbursement account. So we did those things during enrollment this year, but we ask employees to commit to complete those activities. So they do have some deadlines to get those items done. We put the money in up front, and then they have a commitment to fulfill those by the deadline. So really what they're asked to do is a biometric screening, blood draw, and an online health assessment, and then to complete some health education activities or behavior modification activities throughout the year. And there are many choices and many options available on how they can do those activities. We have a new prescription drug plan partner, which is Know Your Rx Coalition, and that is a pharmacy group out of Lexington. There are 6 pharmacists on staff, and they are available to assist our employees with finding lower cost prescriptions, lower other alternatives to maybe a brand name that they're taking, getting employees set up on mail order, or finding any other ways to save money on prescriptions, because that is really a big factor for the savings to our employees and to the plan as well. So wanted to share some statistics about how the enrollment went. We were really surprised about the number of employees who opted into the high deductible health plan with the HSA option, the first time we've ever introduced a plan like that. Typically, adoption rates are very slow into those plans because, you know, they're new and they're different and they have higher deductibles. But we had 54% of our employees elected the high deductible health plan this year. has a $2,600 deductible. We fund half of that through the HSA account for employees who participate in wellness. And that was a big surprise. It's a good surprise. It's a good thing. It's a very good thing that our employees like that plan. You will see that we have 2,038 employees accepted the Top Life Pledge and committed to the wellness activities. 288 declined. So we had 88 participation in our wellness Top Life Pledge, which was also a significant surprise, and we're very, very pleased with these numbers. So really, again, the message is to get employees engaged in the process and understand how these changes really have the ability to impact future cost increases. And that is the crux of this, and that is what we are doing. Yes, the plans operate very differently than they had in the past. We don't have co-pays when you go to the doctor any longer. We have instead these savings vehicles that employees can use for the initial visits to providers. They pay the cost of that, and then they'll begin paying a co-insurance, either 15% or 30% beyond that. So this is key to the long-term sustainability. We want to continue to provide a very competitive and affordable plan to our employees. We want to continue to provide resources to help our employees, but we are asking our employees to commit and be part of the process as well this year. I will take any questions anybody has right now. I know that's high level and it's a lot of information, but I'll be happy to answer any questions that anybody has about the plan. Or
I have one.
Yes.
What is the coordination between the employee staff plan and WellU, which is being presented to the students as another vehicle of healthy lifestyle and activities? Is there any coordination between your department and the staffing department of that program?
There is not at this point, but the purpose of the strategic process that we went through with our consultants was really to develop a healthy campus initiative. We focused first and primarily on the health plan because that was honestly what needed the immediate attention, but we do have a long-term strategy to coordinate with many other parties and departments and divisions and groups across campus to really create a healthy campus in many different ways.
Do you have a calendar or timeline that you anticipate implementing that program?
We're beginning the second phase of the strategic initiative in this coming year to begin to maybe talk and work with other divisions, but it's really about a three-year program.
Any other questions? Is there a methodology or a formula or a means by which you determine the necessary reserves?
There is. Yes, we take the prior 3 years of claims and administrative fees average, and that is 25% of that figure is what we establish as our reserve. And that money is really designed to cover the cost of the plan if the plan was ever to cease to operate. So if the plan ended December 31st of 2015, we're required to pay claims through about March 31st, the run out. So people can use the plan up to December 31st, so we have to have a pool of money to pay those claims that may incur after the plan ceases to operate.
What did you say that reserve was earlier? $20 million? Did I hear that?
No, that's the cost of the health plan. So the reserve is about 3.9.
You're looking at the sheet. Mm-hmm. With your material that looks just like this, you got right in front of you.
Yeah, I do now.
Shows a 2013, and put this together, 2013-14 comparison of the cost of the program. Ann, talk about this.
Actually, Jim Cummings, our chief financial officer, monitors. You have the condensed version. We track these expenses on a monthly basis, which shows incredible volatility. If you think enrollment's difficult to predict, well, healthcare claims is probably harder. So there's a certain amount of volatility to it. We put this chart together to show 13 versus 14, and there were some significant concerns in 13 about drawing down the reserve. However, we still had a healthy reserve. We finished that year with 3.3. The next year, last December, we finished with approximately 4 million. So it's an important variable to keep track of because, as Carrie described, the goal in that is a buffer for not having to do extraordinary rate increases for both the university and the employee. we feel we're in a very comfortable position right now, and we've just got a wonderful group of people that that make this possible to have a self-insured plan.
I got one other question. Now I appreciate Gary and showing that to me. On here it says stop loss and other premiums. Is there a reinsurance program?
That's what it is.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It is.
Where's that? Where does that kick in?
At $200,000.
At what?
$200,000. Mm-hmm. It's a specific. So an individual claim that exceeds $200,000 then moves into stop loss.
Mm-hmm. What the sheet?
Does it have a ceiling?
No.
What this sheet also shows you is the significant difference between the university contributions to our health insurance program and employee contributions. Mm-hmm. We do everything we can to try to keep our employee premiums in check and at the lowest possible level. And so you can just see the difference in university commitment, trying to protect our employees to the extent possible, the first two lines on that sheet. So $13.5 million university contribution, $3.5 million employee contribution. That I think demonstrates the university's commitment to the thoughtful health care for our employees.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yes.
Thank you.
I have a question or comment. I think it's a nice plan, nice effort that you're doing, clearly. An example of why it is smart to shop a little. 2 days ago, I think, front page of the Courier Journal, anybody that saw it, they had price difference of one particular drug at five different institutions in Louisville, and it ranged from $1,200 to $5,400, some huge range. So certainly that's something that I'm glad you're looking at. But 75% of every healthcare dollar spent on chronic disease, and statistics would tell you that, you know, 5 or 10% of the population account for 80%. So do you have any program here where you're identifying those high utilizers and intervening?
We do. We actually have a part of our wellness program. We utilize Nurture Health, which has a disease management program. So employees and members who have chronic disease, and Anthem also provides resources to help manage and mitigate those and work with employees. No cost to employees.
Good.
Any other questions? Oh, yes, please.
I can only imagine how much work has gone into this. Just a clarification question that I'm not sure I understand. I know that one significant difference in this plan over the past, other than all the wellness components and incentives, is that the deductible, you pay it all up front as opposed to a copay along the way.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And do you have any thoughts about the degree to which we might have employees that could have a very difficult time managing all of that deductible, mm-hmm. particularly people on that are not on the high end of mm-hmm. the salary scale, and the deductible that the amount they might have to pay is literally
right.
Their whole month's salary.
We actually worked very closely with our facilities group during the enrollment process and any employee. As I mentioned, we had 13 enrollment assistance sessions, and during those sessions, we were able, through informatics, big data, which helps us a lot, is to populate our enrollment system with your prior year utilization. So how much did you spend last year, and what can you expect to spend next year under the new plans? And we helped employees budget through a flexible spending account or additional contributions to their health savings account so that they didn't get hit all at once, and that they had a monthly amount maybe coming out of their check into a flexible spending account, which we've had available for many years and employees have utilized. But it was important for them to understand how much it may impact them. So they were able to look at their drug spend and their office visits or inpatient, outpatient, any of those types of services. And we helped them sit down and budget for that. Now, the employees who didn't seek our assistance or attend the sessions or understand that maybe didn't get that help they need. And so those employees, we certainly can still assist with that. But there are many things that employees can do.
As long as you don't have a big claim right up front at the beginning of the year.
Right. And the upfront money that we provide was designed to help offset that. We've always had deductibles and coinsurance and out-of-pocket max. So employees who had an inpatient or outpatient service, it's not going to work any differently under these plans than they had in the past. So if you get a big bill from a provider or hospital, we would love to intervene and help that employee, because there are ways where they can set up different options to offset that through payment plans or try to lower or even negotiate or reduce the amount that they pay. So we can intervene at any point in the process. It's always easier to intervene at the planning stage and help them prepare for it, but we will certainly help employees any way we can.
I've verified Mike's offer point about that as well. We actually got an option of funding our flexible spending accounts or HRA or HSAs all up front or along the way. We chose to do the upfront funding because of the very point that you're making. You people would need some of that money upfront initially, the first dollars. So as it turns out, they will have half of those deductible values in an account to use for those first dollar costs. So that was something that we told the board to make available day one in those accounts for those first dollar costs.
One of the second things that we did was to work on the premium structure as well. So many of our employees actually will see a premium reduction. So we encourage those employees whose premiums went down in 14 to set that money aside into a flexible spending account or health savings account to help offset those expenses. So, you know, for many of our employees, the way that they pay for services is going to be different, but definitely not necessarily more in 15. There are a lot of factors that we need employees to consider about their overall spend in 14 versus 15, because we know that this is not a significant cost shift to employees. It's just different in the way they have paid in the past.
I'd just like to make a comment. You know, this was a very anxious issue for many employees on campus, and I want to take the opportunity to commend and compliment Tony, Carrie, and the whole HR department for really getting out in front of this issue and aggressively and proactively informing campus in all the various vehicles and manners which they did. I had an opportunity to do this before my staff council meetings a few months back, but I wanted to take the opportunity here to do this publicly. They did an outstanding job of keeping the university employees, faculty, staff informed during a very tumultuous time. So I want to commend Tony, Carrie, and everybody within HR for a job very well done.
Okay, I agree. It's stressful. It's stressful for employees. This is a big deal. Benefits packages are huge, especially when we struggle with compensation levels. I appreciate those comments because I agree with you. Jim Cummings and Tony Gleason co-chair the benefits committee, but it's made up mostly of faculty, and they worked hard with Carrie and her team to put this together. But communicating it to 2,300 employees when everybody's busy, and you know, I'll get to that later, and all of a sudden later is here. it's a challenge, and they did a great job. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wonderful comments. Thank you very much. Mr. Chairman, that concludes the Finance and Budget Committee meeting.
Thank you.
Portion. Pardon.
President Ransdell's report.